He is Alex Cravat back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Alex Strofe at our sister station up in Beaver Dam at ESPN Beaver Dam. Gee, I'm in a side studio, and it's got to be 90 degrees in here. I'm very warm.
Hot. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so if it's and it is cold outside. I was just outside moments ago, and I came inside. It is very, very warm.
Why were you outside?
I got food.
Okay. Not like a brat fry or anything?
No, not a brat fry. Just I had a sub, and I needed to get some lunch at almost 2:30 p.m. So here we are.
You do eat lunch at a weird time, like every day. The other day you were eating lasagna at like 2:50.
I think it was later than that, to be honest with you. I'm very self-aware of my shortcomings. One of which is I don't take great care of myself in the food department.
True that.
I typically don't eat breakfast, although I've been on a little bit of a muffin kick recently.
We're getting waffles tomorrow.
Did you notice that about me?
I have not. No, I actually, you show up at like 10. I don't expect you to be eating breakfast at 10.
Well, that's about when I do it. I think I ate my muffin at about 10 o'clock this morning.
I think muffins are pretty good, but they're definitely not donuts if you're going to go unhealthy. But they do feel healthier than donuts, but they are better tasting than bagels unless you're making a full bagel sandwich.
I think you nailed that. I think you perfectly encapsulated my thoughts. Well done.
What the non-sugary one, the last one I mentioned, how do you say that word?
Bagel.
Yeah, I also say bagel. I get a lot of crap from my partner about that. We say it very Wisconsin-y, and apparently it's very noticeable. Like she's embarrassed to let me order bagels at our favorite bagel spot because it's a bagel.
It's obviously a Wisconsin thing. It's our Wisconsin diction coming through, if you will. And your girlfriend not from Wisconsin?
North Carolina.
Great state, by the way, as we've discussed before.
No matter where in the state you are right now, you're probably rooting for somebody still in the March Madness tournament, which is bonkers.
Yeah, that's true. They have three teams left, right? NC State, UNC, and Duke.
Yeah. And let me tell you, things are contentious. So from what I understand, and I'm not like an expert on this situation, UNC and Duke hate each other. I mean, just absolute hate each other. Yep. UNC and NC State used to have that relationship before Coach K showed up and threw the whole thing for a loop. But they've been pretty weak and kind of miserable. But the thing is, NC State still hates UNC that way. UNC just now hates Duke much more. And so, like, everyone's kind of like, yeah, you can have this ACC championship. But now that they're in the Sweet 16, I'm wondering if that's not going to change again.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just don't think the Sweet 16 will make that happen. But you are correct. So back in the summer of 2018, I was hosting a podcast with a guy that is an alum of UNC, and he was living in Chapel Hill at the time. But during our podcasting tour, which we did a bunch of interviews with people in the state of North Carolina, and we had a couple in Chapel Hill. We also had a couple of interviews in Durham, which is where Duke is. They are literally 15 minutes down the road from one another, G.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable how close to one another they are. So we actually had to go. So we were in Chapel Hill. We had a broken piece of equipment, and like we needed to go to a Best Buy or a Walmart or some place that would have an electronics section that would just have a simple cord we needed. And the nearest Walmart to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, was the Walmart in Durham. So I went to Durham, which is a Duke town, and I bought a UNC sweatshirt, which I still own and wear occasionally.
I see it. You're
from
a punk
the Walmart
for that.
In Durham, North Carolina. Yeah.
So Elfie's parents, one of them a faculty member at UNC, the other works in the international relations department at Duke. So I'm very familiar with the area and the hatred between the two. And it is a house divided for sure, though both children side with Duke, which is funny.
That's very interesting. I didn't know it was a house divided like that.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating. They get along?
For almost all of the time.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that. All right. This is Green Bay Every Day. He's Alex Cravat. I'm Alex Strofe. Across the state of Wisconsin. Not really. We're 40 minutes apart from each other, which is further apart than UNC and Duke.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It is a Wednesday here on Green Bay Every Day, which means we look at the state of the position group. We have knocked out the offense. Time to look at some of the defensive positions. We did the defensive backs last week. Today is the state of the linebacker. And in this new Jeff Hafley defense, it looks a little bit different because guys like Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith and Kingsley Enagbare and Lucas Van Ness are more viewed as defensive linemen now than they are linebackers. So we will save them for when we look at the state of the defensive line. We will look strictly at the linebacker position, which is pretty much your middle linebackers there will be some outside pressure, but obviously less with only three on the field in their base set in their 4-3 now. So your main linebackers, as you view it, on the ESPN Packers site, G, in the depth chart, Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, and Aaron Mosby. Do you know who that is?
I imagine it is not Ted's brother from the great movie or TV show How I Met Your Mother.
It is not. It is. They look very different. And if you have that page open, I would like you to click on Aaron Mosby's headshot because he does not look anything like Ted Mosby. He is a 24-year-old linebacker from Fresno State who I have never heard of. I didn't know he existed. He's never recorded a tackle in the NFL. Oh, no, I take that back. He's recorded one tackle in his career in the NFL.
He looks nice. I mean, I like his hair. Anyway, the specifically the interior linebackers, right? That is one space that could use the biggest upgrade now that we've addressed the safety position on the Packers, I think. I think that the room for improvement is fantastic. I know a lot of people thought Isaiah McDuffie played really well, and I tend to agree that he played well, but he's not a game changer. He's kind of the almost Blake Martinez. We're just happy to have him, but he's not dominant at the position that I think when you have a dominant player, specifically the way that teams like to target the middle of the field, teams like to get those mismatches with a running back or a tight end. If you can have somebody who has the IQ, ability to fly side to side, those are some of the most dominant defenses we've seen in the past couple of years. You know, you think about Levante David in Tampa Bay. You think about the 49ers this year with that linebacking core. Those are the players, and even of history, you know, the not Mike Ditka, but the guy who's bald, Erlacher, Brian Erlacher, Ray Lewis, Patrick Wilson.
I know. No longer bald. Have you driven through Illinois recently?
Yes, I've driven through in the past decade where he has hair again. Do you think that he actually just shaved his head in the NFL and let it grow after the NFL?
I got to be honest with you. I have no clue. I have zero idea whether or not he shaved his head. I think he was actually just bald because the billboards are for hair restoration companies. Now, I understand they're paying him to be there, but I'm pretty sure he was actually just bald.
Because that would be a hilarious and genius business decision to just for your entire career go bald and then afterwards say like, hey, hair restoration place, I've just been shaving my head every game day for the last decade. Would love to do this and make tons of money for you.
I hear you. I mean, I almost said I hear you, which would have been way funnier. Wish I would have. But anyway, yeah. So to your point on the linebackers, this is clearly a position of need. And I imagine this will be a need that is attacked quite a bit in the NFL draft. And I've said that for a lot of these positions, right? But I think when it comes to depth pieces, this is one that is going to be a point of emphasis because under contract right now, at least listed on the ESPN website, under the linebacker position are the three names I mentioned, Walker, McDuffie, Mosby. They re-signed Eric Wilson over the weekend. Kashawn Banks was on the roster, maybe the practice squad last year. Christian Welch, a crucial special teams piece, was brought back. And then Christian Young, the other linebacker. And to be real honest with you, as Packers fans, you probably shouldn't be familiar with most of those names. Eric Wilson played some defense last year, especially after Isaiah McDuffie went down. He also had the big fumble recovery on the big kick return by Keyshawn Nixon in the 49ers NFC divisional round game this year. But again, that's on special teams. Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, you should know those names. Obviously, Walker, the former first round pick, and McDuffie coming off of a torn ACL. Suffered late last season. So we don't even know if he'll be ready for week one of the NFL season. Now, I don't anticipate, at least when it comes to starters or starting quality linebackers, guys that you will see on the field play one of the regular season, that the Packers would address this through free agency. But I don't know, with the second wave, you might see them add a depth piece or two that doesn't maybe make front page news, but signals they do understand this is a position of need. I'm intrigued to see if slash when they attack that in free agency. But I would imagine two or three depth pieces throughout the 3 days of the NFL draft is the way they come at this. Now, the other thing I want to bring up, and it's the name we keep bringing up, is Quay Walker, right? He's a first-round pick from 2 years ago. He's had some flashes, but he hasn't really had his breakout game, breakout stretch, or breakout season yet with the Green Bay Packers entering year three. And, gee, when I think back to a couple months ago, after Joe Barry was fired and the Packers hadn't hired a defensive coordinator yet, my biggest question was, how do you elevate a guy like Quay Walker? And that was the question I would be asking if I was interviewing potential defensive coordinator candidates. Obviously, I am not as smart as the people that make those decisions, but it is something as a Packers fan, I'm curious about how Quay Walker gets to that next level. I think he has the athletic ability to be a Dre Greenlaw or a Levante David, maybe not this year, but I think he can get his game to that level if he can piece some things together. Tackling. Yeah, he's okay at it, right? And sometimes he gets beat over the top when he's dropped into a passing role or defensive passing role. But overall, he's a good piece. He's an athletic guy. I would love to see him take that next step in year three.
He absolutely has the range, the size. His arms are super long, so he can wrap up and go. And like you mentioned, he is crazy athletic. But what I've seen from him is a lot of playing behind that athleticism. You know, the best players, the Luke Kuechlys in the middle linebacker role, they are freakishly athletic, right? But they are playing brain first. And that's what we saw from the 49ers. Every time Jordan Love dropped back to pass, they knew what his tendencies were, and they did their best to make his job hard. Now, he still did really well against those players, right? That they just made it, they added a level of difficulty in the passing game. And I don't see that from Quay Walker. He has that arm length to really surprise quarterbacks and be in that space where interceptions can happen or tips can happen. And we've seen it happen with him. But again, there needs to be a level of discipline and taking away something rather than trying to make a play, specifically when it comes to tackling, because you see him over pursue and then get beat on the inside so often. I don't have clips to show you. That's the thing that I always think about. But there's been a handful of times where he just runs by somebody because they cut back in on a curl route or something. I'd love to see him learn some discipline, and that's the sort of thing that maybe Jeff Hafley can bring. But until that happens, I struggle to believe that he can be someone that you can rely on as a really star defensive piece. Otherwise, I think it might be one of those situations where he finds a new team once his contract is up. I would be shocked if they re-sign him if he has another campaign just like the last one he had.
When it comes to linebacker inside, I mean, I guess inside linebacker, quote unquote, versus safety, which position group do you feel is the bigger need at this point, March 27th? Which position group would you like the Packers to address more?
Well, the Packers have already addressed the safety, right? Like, I'd love to have another
one of them, yeah.
I'd love to have another safety, but you can really do a good job of hiding that safety, the secondary safety. You know, like, the hardest thing to do in football is complete this deep bomb, and specifically in the division that we're in, we don't have a lot of guys who are doing that. They have a lot of really good pass catchers out there, right? But, like, Caleb Williams is going to be a rookie. We can disguise things to make that hard. Jared Goff is pretty good. Whoever's going to be under center in Minnesota, not that big a deal. So if we're asking somebody to not get beat deep in the NFL at this level, I think we can rely on that happening. We're going to be more aggressive McKinney, right?
Yep, Xavier McKinney.
Thank you. Holy cow, that was hard. We're going to be more aggressive with him. I like that. But what's going to happen is that middle linebacker spot is the first read for a lot of young quarterbacks. It's finding that tight end right away, and that's where we can really get punished. So I'd love to see us get more aggressive and find something to improve there to make the young quarterbacks' jobs so much harder in this division.
The Brewers opener already postponed. As we talked to you on Wednesday, the Brewers season opener was scheduled for tomorrow early afternoon at the New York Mets. It was going to be the first game of MLB technically opening day, although a couple of games were played in Korea last week. So no Brewers. You've got more Packers to focus on. You can do that right here on Green Bay every day. Get G on Twitter at Alex Gravatt, G-R-A-V-A-T-T. You can find me on Twitter at Alex _ Strouf, S-T-R-O-U-F. We're back with you tomorrow. It's Green Bay every day. Bye, G.
Bye. All right. We good?
We're good. Can you produce that and upload?